illegal, so it's my legal democratic right. So why are you objecting? So I says, whatever it is, but this is not going to work in my home. He wants to bring some alcohol in the house, enjoy the wine, not agreeable. So some areas we say these differences are not agreeable, not acceptable. He wants to bring 10 kilos of pork and deposit it in your fridge. I say, no. See, it's not going to be contaminated. I got it covered in a box. So whatever it is, but I don't want this contamination. So in some areas, every individual will object. Some areas will agree. Then the state also, in some areas, they will allow the differences, they will accommodate for differences. And some areas they say it's not acceptable at all. On the roads, on the highways, freeways, you have three lanes. One for the fast, one the average, and one the slow lane. Right? So you've got a choice to take the lane of your choice. Slow lane, average, or the fast lane. Nobody would object. Right? So the state also makes a provision for that. But then there are some areas that the state will say it's a no-go. Absolutely no-go. You can't experiment with this. So now it's your duty to move on the right of the road, right side of the road. So you're driving at 150 on the right end of the road. Another person says, I'm also a taxpayer, I've got a right to use the road. My opinion is that I can drive on the left and at full speed 150. Will the state allow that? Not going to be allowed. So some differences state accommodated, and some differences they rejected. But now there are these differences. Now, who's going to make the decision as to which type of difference is acceptable and accommodated, and which ones are not accommodated? We leave it to an individual, can't do it, because each one's taste is different, his temperament is different, his reasoning is different, so we can't leave it to the individual to take this decision. Can we leave it to the state? Any government of the world can't leave it to them. Why? Because the state is generally influenced by three categories of people. One is the government. The government also has got a boss, people of influence. They will say, do it like this. Though the majority is not agreeable, but the boss is saying, do it in this way, and the state will have to listen. The boss will say, you must go for prostitution, or I call it in a bit more dignified way, an escort agency, go for it. And though the majority of the public will be objecting, but they'll have to listen to the boss. The boss is saying, just go for it, and you have to go with it. Right? The state will say that wife swapping is agreeable, right? Agreeable, legal. Majority of the people, you ask them, hey, you want to swap your wife? You feel so nauseated when you hear this type of a story. You don't want to say it, but the state is allowing it, so long as it's consensual. But now, because the boss influences the constitution, the government will have to go on that line. It must just be agreeable, both must be consensual, so it must work. You can't object to it. If the majority, if the bosses say, you know, you must talk about LG, then the majority will have to go in that line, whether they like it or they don't like it, lump it or whatever, but you have to go on that line, you can't object. If the bosses will say, for example, that the education must be heavily fluid with sex, everything about sex, talk about it. So it's just a small percentage that the boss is compelling the state, do it like this, the state will have to just agree, go with it. Though there will be a lot of individuals that will be objecting, but they can't do anything about it. Their hands are tied, they can't do anything about it. They'll object in an individual capacity, maybe collective capacity, But they'll have to just agree with you. So can you say now that whatever the state says is absolute justice? You can't say that. And can you say this is the opinion of the majority? You can't say that. So in some places the state will do things that are practical, like driving on one side, keeping to your lane, that's practical. Some places they will go what the boss has to say, and about 25% what the public has to say. There's a combination of the boss, practicality, and the public. So can you see now this is totally just, can't say that. State says that 16%, 17% will take away as taxes, debt duties, one third of your state will be taken away. Is a man happy about it? Not happy about it. But he just have to succumb to the law, because it's a law now. Can't do anything about it. Just listen to it. So now, when you don't find any two persons, even brothers, they can't agree on one thing. They've got differences. Temperaments are different. The reasoning is different. Understanding is different. They can't come to any common agreement, right? And the state also, they can't. They'll have to go with practicality. They'll have to go with what the boss says and then what the public says. So it's not, justice is not the benchmark. It's something else. So now, someone has to do something absolutely just. What is he supposed to be doing? If he goes by the state, it's not right. If he goes by public opinion, going to the aksara man fil ardi yudilluka an sabilillah, majority will lead you astray. Then what are you supposed to be doing? Then the only solution, the only way out of it is that we all need to be agreeing on one guide. All of us, me, you, Japan, China, whoever, all have to agree to one. If we agree to one, then we'll be united, will be one law, and there'll be absolute justice. Because if you reject that one person's authority, then there'll be billions of differences. And we learn to agree to one. We believe him to be infallible, unmistakable. He doesn't have a personal interest in this thing here. If it's a boss, he's got a personal interest. If it is the public, they've got a personal interest, right? But if it is this one being who doesn't have a personal interest, he's looking what is the best for the universe, and he's got the complete knowledge, the perfect knowledge. So his rule will be absolutely final, perfect, without any type of flaw. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to learn to respect his law. Without any consideration, without any resistance, without any reservation, no hesitation. So if you all agree to one, then we'll be a united nation. Then there will be justice, because that law, like it will work for the poor, it will work for the wealthy. Otherwise, most governments in the West, the laws are made or designed for the wealthy. The wealthy, then the law is on your side. Otherwise, the only other option is go with the law of the one who you consider to be infallible. You believe him to be the Almighty. You believe him to be the responsible for this entire universe, then go with him. If you go with him, inshallah, then all of us will be right. There'll be no fight, there'll be no dispute, there'll be no resistance, there'll be no need for us to object. Because it's from Allah Ta'ala. Someone objects to us and says, this is Allah Ta'ala's law. Whether it relates to the government or it relates to the subject, whether it relates to the head or the tail, it is applicable to all and sort of everyone. So that is the law of Allah Ta'ala, and that is where humanity is stuck this day and time, that each one wants to give his own two cents in the law, right? And it doesn't work out. They try something, it doesn't work out. They try something else, again, they have to abrogate it and replace it. Abrogate and replace. Why? Because it's man-made, and man-made must have flaws. The only law that will have no flaw will be the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, no matter how sincere a person may be, he'll have to just go with it. So sincerity is not just sufficient for you getting your work right. Sincerity with the right procedures. You will need, just like you need sincerity to get it right, then you need to have the procedures right as well. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives at Medina Munawwara, and the Kitabis, people of the book, they understand that this is the Nabi. يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Allah Pak says, they found him, his description exactly, precise description in their books, Old Testament, New Testament, precise description of Rasul-e-Pak is contained. So they found him, as though they found him in the books. So there's absolutely no doubt about him. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They recognized him exactly. In fact, they say, we recognize him better than we recognize our own child. Because perhaps our wives may have deceived us. But this one here, this is not wrong, because it's the exact description that is contained in the books of God. So there is no inconsistency, absolutely consistent. So Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu is the greatest of the rabbis in the Jewish community living around Medina Munawwara at the time. Greatest. In the world you can't find a person at the level of Abdullah ibn Salam. And he saw Rasulullah at first glance, he says, عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهُهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهٍ كَذَّابٍ. I made out immediately that this man is not an imposter. I made out. The description was absolutely clear. مرد حقانی کی پیشانی کا نور کہاں چھپ سکتا ہے پیش ذی شعور. When it's a godly man, the light that illuminates on his face, it can't be concealed. Nobody can conceal it. It's a man of God. So he comes to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, understands and verifies that he's the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And he says, makes a request to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you see, our Jewish community is full of slandering. They could distort al-kalima ammawani. They could distort, change the word of Allah Ta'ala. Yaqtulun al-anbiya. If you are talking about them killing civilians and women, then they killed anbiya alayhi wasallam. For them it's nothing to kill anbiya, to distort the word of Allah Ta'ala. That was nothing. Small things. Quran speaks about it. He says that to make slander, this is in their blood, this slander. They even slandered Isa alayhi salam and his mother. So they did all these things here. So this is a nation that is full of slander. Lies, slander. That is their blood. It's a bloodline. So Ya Rasulullah, what I request from you is that let some of my people come in, the hierarchy, the more influential, let them come in, and you will verify this from them. You will understand my people's temperament, what's their thinking like, what is the mindset like. So you'll understand that. You won't have any problems later on. So anyway, a delegation of the hierarchies of the Jews came in. So Rasulullah inquired, and how do you hold, in what esteem do you hold Abdullah bin Salam? Abdullah bin Salam, you know, is behind the screen, and Rasulullah is questioning this delegation. And what esteem do you hold him in? He says, he's the best amongst us, the most learned, the most, the best. And he's coming of a pure line. The line is absolutely pure and accurate. So there's nothing inconsistent in his knowledge, in his line, in his reputation. It's absolutely perfect. Just then, Rasulullah calls for Abdullah bin Salam. He comes in and he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وَشَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He's the worst amongst us. He's lineage is about the most deplorable. He's the worst amongst us. So see, in a second they can just change from one to the other. So that is this community. Anyway, so Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, with all his sincerity, being a scholar and a rabbi of the highest rank, acceptable to the Jewish fraternity, In the spirit of sincerity, he says to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, absolutely sincere. But see, my previous faith was Judaism, and there it was a law. It was law to respect the Sabbath. So I'll maintain the respect to the Sabbath, not considering it as a duty. There in Judaism, it was a duty. You respect the Sabbath. You don't put on a light, right? You don't go fishing, you don't do hunting, etc. So that was a requirement in the Sabbath. Right? In Islam, this is not an obligatory thing. It's not a duty. So what I will do is, I will maintain the respect, I'll continue respecting it, not considering it as a duty, out of consideration for my previous denomination, my faith. Just then the verses were revealed, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. You enter into Islam, come complete. Not half-half. That I'm doing my namaz, but not keeping the roza. No, not half. Or my body is in Islam, but my eyes are not in Islam. I'm looking at all the wrong haram things, movies and porns, etc. So you're coming in complete. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. We don't want this. This type of a selective approach, we don't want it. You come in complete. And if you're going to have a selective approach to compromise with this, add this up, make some consideration for others, right, other religions, then Allah Pak, he announces a warning, says, لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Then that's following in the footsteps of shaitan. Shaitan also wanted to object, he wanted to do his own thing. You want to do your own thing, then you want to follow his footsteps. لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان. Come in complete. If your body is in Islam, then your eyes is in Islam. Your eyes are in Islam, then your ears are in Islam. Your ears are in Islam, then your tongue is also in Islam. That you are very, very careful of what you take, what you speak about, what you look at, what you avoid looking at, what your body is doing in the secret and the open, so you are very cautious about it. It's not a selective attitude and approach, but complete, absolutely perfect. Allah grant us.